You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek coming to you from Aiken, South Carolina.
I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm currently in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, February 6th. Wait, it's not February 6th, Glenn. It's March 6th. You've got the wrong date written down. Again, I just read what you write. I
can't help it. We can blame Ashley now because she writes these up for us.
Episode 3380. Okay, I'm done.
Ah, Wednesday, the day we cover Glenn's favorite topic. Horse health. And Jamie makes you feel better about yourself with the latest weird news from around the world.
Let's go!
Happy Wednesday!
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do the show this morning. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But we have Leslie, the animal communicator, stops by monthly. She's going to speak with auditor Jessica's horse, Cinder. And we have Dr. Tina Ursini from the University of Tennessee's College of Veterinary Medicine. We've had doctors on this show who've had a lot of letters pass after their name. You know, all those acronyms.
Yeah.
Dr. Tina sets the record. It must be 10 of them.
Really?
Yes. So she's going to do a crash course on neurological issues in horses, which, you know, we've all dealt with at times. And we have some mighty weird news all coming up in today's show. And in the Auditor Post Show, we are going to review the annual auditor survey, which just completed. I think some of the answers will surprise Jamie and will surprise you, too. Well, we are in Aiken. What a horsey town this is. And it's just like Ocala and Lexington in that since COVID, it has exploded. I mean, horse people are moving here. Look, Helena, we're staying at her farm. She moved here. And now she sold her place up in Rhode Island. She's moving here full time. And it's just
that's awesome.
All over town. It is really cool. If you ever get a chance, Jamie, to come to Aiken, it is the coolest. It's like you transplant this old kind of New England town with the architecture and the trees the way they are and everything, and just put it in rural South Carolina. It is the most quaint town. Ocala's not quaint. Ocala's not quaint in any way. It's a town, it's a city, you know, a small city that horse things grew up around. And even Lexington's not a quaint city. This is a quaint town. It's got a much different feel to it, Aiken does. And it's going through a massive expansion. That also includes, you know, the housing developments everywhere, but also people buying little 5-acre farms and converting them and making them nicer. And we stopped at Aiken Saddlery, which will be coming to you from there on Friday morning. It didn't work out for today, but Friday morning, Amy Hebert runs that. No relation as far as we know, but we made friends with her on the last roadshow and we're going to do it from there. They expanded. Jamie, I have never seen, they have these enormous warehouses you drive through to pick up your hay and your feed. I have never seen so many bags of feed in one place in my life. There must be 2,000 bags of feed in there. It is the biggest warehouse complex I've seen for a saddlery. And the interesting thing, their store is enormous too, English and Western and all kinds of stuff. You'd be in heaven. But
oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's crazy because it's just, it's so different here. And that store is not online at all. They do this massive business locally. So, you know, and that's unheard of anymore. Everybody has online stores and they don't. So they're a really cool operation and I like her a lot. So she's going to come on and talk to us a little bit about the expansion in Aiken and what's happening here on Friday's show. But right now we have to do some daily whinnies. Have a happy birthday to one of our hosts. We have no auditor birthdays today, shockingly, but one of our hosts, Alicia Harlov, it's her birthday. She's the host of Humble Hoof, which is always in the top five shows for the Horse Radio Network. So congratulations to her for having such a terrific show. And Happy birthday to you, Alicia. Also, big thanks to Helene and Buck for their hospitality here. We've gone out to dinner. They've made us dinner. We're going to be here through Saturday morning and then heading home, but we're having a fabulous time. Didn't know if I was going to get to do the show this morning because I learned something about working out of the back of your horse trailer. Ours is insulated and everything, and it's really good for kind of heat and cold, but not so good when it's torrential raining outside. It poured here all night. We must have had inches of rain, and it didn't stop raining till about 10 minutes ago. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to do the show. It was so loud in here. I was like, how am I going to do the show? It's so loud. I had Ashley on standby because it was, but it stopped. We're actually in the sun's out. So here we are. So I'm glad I was able to be here with you and do the show.
I kind of have two daily winnies. First of all, I just wanted to send a heartfelt thank you. I got a really sweet message from Sandy Rosvanez, and it was just really touching. She just sent me a lovely message about stuff, and I just wanted to let her know that I read it, and I just wanted to thank her. The other daily winnie is, you know, we had the group on, was it a week or two ago, of talking about foreign exchange students.
Oh, yeah. What's the scoop? An update?
I have my student.
Is it the German girl?
It is. Yay. Anna, she's from Germany. She's going to be 15 and a half by the time she gets here. And she and I have been WhatsApping. And
Super,
she is like so excited. She can't believe that she's coming somewhere. There's a Monty Roberts trainer. She's like, I'm going to learn so much. And I'm like, yeah, you are. You're going to work so hard. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Wait till you see how many stalls you're going to clean.
So I'm really excited. So yes, Anna is my exchange student. And I'm very excited. She'll be here in August and then stays for the whole school year, so she'll be here for about 9 months.
That is one lucky girl right there.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I wouldn't have done this had you not reached out, Glenn, so thank you very much for that.
Well, and thank me after. See how it goes.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, I can't keep her, so it's no stress.
That's true.
I can't keep her forever, so there's an end date. No. There's no pressure of keeping her. So it's not allowed. So it's just will be what it is.
This is the perfect situation for you, actually, now where I think about it now.
Yeah,
it is. You failed fostering many different times. So
exactly. Yeah. And this one, they won't let me keep. So it's actually like that was probably what there's an end date that is. It has to happen. So I think that's why Chad was like, all right, we can do it.
Yeah, and I think their visas only last till the end of the school year, too, is how it works. And then they have to go back. So, yeah.
So the government is going to take my baby.
Yes, exactly. Well, congratulations. That's exciting.
Yay. Thank you.
That'll be fun for her, especially, and for you both, and for the whole family, and Lucas, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they sent me probably 10 horse girls and we poured through them and it just seemed like she was the best fit for the lifestyle that we have. Like one of the girls was like, I love horses. I've been riding my whole life, blah, blah. I also love going to the mall and hanging out with friends and I'd love to put on makeup. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to be the one to help you with any of that. There's like other ones too. I was like, I think this is the one.
Yeah,
and my husband
the first
and Chad
one too, right? That we
and Chad speaks some German, so it just kind of like made. I mean, he grew up in Germany. Part of his youth was in Germany, so he kind of connected to that too. So,
well, you might learn a little too then along the way. That'd be fun.
Nine. That's it.
Well, I'm very excited for you. That is very exciting.
Thank you.
And I like it because you know how I suck at remembering names. Anybody? It took me 2 years to remember yours, but I'll remember hers because my mom's name was Anna.
So oh, perfect.
I can remember her name.
Watch it be pronounced Anna, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, I'll get it wrong every time. Hey, the FEI decided there wasn't enough controversy, you know, with the dressage riders getting in trouble for abusing horses and all that stuff, that they would just create new controversy. So the FEI, and this has been, I'm sure you've seen it all over the place. Everybody's been talking about this. And the FEI has issued a new edict for doing video and sharing things on social media at FEI named events. So if it's an FEI event, isn't what used to be Rolex and now is what Defender, isn't that an FEI event?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So they have new rules about video. And the one thing, I don't have an answer on the one thing I'm trying to find out. But basically what they're saying is that you cannot do video while watching. If you're a rider or the rider's entourage, or it's always been true for media, but if you're, and I think if this includes spectators, that's the part I'm trying to figure out. You're not allowed to do video on any of the competition course. Now, they say that all the time. Like when you and I go to cover Kentucky, as media, we're not allowed to video or do any video coverage of the actual competition. We can do video coverage outside the competition or even in the press briefings and all that stuff. But now FEI is saying you can't do any video and you can't post it anywhere on social media, including the athletes of their own rides. They can post their own rides, but it has to be video that's supplied by the FEI. So the owner or your wife can't do the video and post it.
No way. So like what I do every year is there's like the one jump that I stand on the bottom of the ditch and I film people in slow motion jumping over it. And I always send it to the rider and they're always super excited. I mean, they don't know me. I'm just like, hey, yeah, random rider, I took this cool video of you. See, you can't do that.
They wouldn't be able to post that. Now, the question that I don't have an answer to is, can you post it as a spectator? Now, the big question is, how do they police this? I mean, if you have 50,000 people at or at any of the UK events, right, or Aachen, there's 50,000 people there watching. How do you police that? I mean, you can police the riders because there's a certain number of riders and you can keep an eye on their accounts. But I mean, even if a rider's account, I guess if it's a private account and if it's only family and friends, how are you going to police that? I don't know. And obviously this is to protect the rights holders, the Longines of the world. And they've always done it for the media, but of course this is causing an uproar. You can imagine the people commenting on this story.
It's just very unclear.
Well, what it, in my opinion, with everything going on right now, you know, with the videos being taken in secret of these trainers of clearly abusing their horses, and they're world-class trainers, it just makes it look like they're hiding things. By doing this rule, you're going to hide stuff. Because it says all course walks are subject to approval by the officials, so you couldn't even film a course walk. The mixed zone, that's where they do the filming. It just goes on and on and on. And it just, I don't know, it's probably the wrong timing for this.
Yeah, it definitely seems weird. I mean, it just, you're right. It sounds like they're hiding something.
Yeah, it just makes it's bad timing all around for this. To be putting any kind of these rules in place at a time when transparency is probably more important than ever. That's where I come. And I'm sure there's a lot more to it that we're not seeing. I'll give them a little bit of the credit, or the title sponsors are just cracking down. I don't know. Or TV rights.
Now,
who knows?
This isn't just eventing. This is like, is Rainey in the FEI still?
No, Rainey bailed.
Okay.
Because they didn't want to deal with this
stuff
crap.
Like this.
This is why they bailed. They didn't want to deal with all these rules. So, yeah, but all the others are still in there. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. And there might be so much blowback with this that they change it again. Who knows? Well, let's get to our first guest. We're going to go to Leslie. She's our animal communicator from ispeaktoanimals.com. She comes on once a month to talk to one of our listeners. And today that listener is one of our terrific auditors, Jessica, and her horse, Cinder. Well, one of our terrific auditors, Jessica, is with us. Jessica, thanks for joining us for this segment this month.
Absolutely. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good. Where are you at in the country?
I am in Wenatchee Valley, Central Washington State.
Oh, wow. Okay. The Great Northwest.
I was like, you're going to have to be more specific. I don't know where Wenatchee Valley is.
Well, is it beautiful there? Like it sounds?
Yes. It's not rainy here, though. Everybody thinks it's Seattle, and we're quite dry here. It's almost desert.
Well, we had about 4 inches last night here in South Carolina, so apparently you shipped it over. So, you know, you're going to do what horse now today?
I'm asking about Cinder, okay. My grade quarter horse mare.
Okay, good. And then we have Leslie, who is our animal communicator. She stops by every month. Leslie, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Are you traveling or at home?
I'm actually in Michigan, And I'm looking forward to seeing you at the equine affair.
Oh,
next month.
Yeah. That's coming up quicker than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's coming up next month. We will be at equine affair. We're going to have our own booth this year for Horse Radio Network. So that's fun. So if you guys go on equine affair, say hi to Leslie and me. Come by and say hi to both of us. So, Leslie, I'll let you take it away.
Great. How old is Cinder?
She is 6 this year.
Okay. How long have you had her?
So I got her about 3 years ago now.
Okay. Great. Well, she says that she is not a stereotypical mare. She said she thinks she's a little more cooperative than most mares. I don't know what that means.
I can see how she thinks that.
Yeah. She thinks she's got a really funny sense of humor.
And, yes, I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and she says that she tends to be, you know, kind of more on the lighthearted, you know, goofy side, rather than taking things too seriously.
I agree with that.
But she's got a lot of confidence.
Oh, yes.
which is good. So do you have something you wanted to ask her or tell her?
I'm going to cry.
Oh,
I didn't mean to have this kind of emotion. So she's had a couple injuries while I've had her. And right now she's totally fine, very healthy, I think. And she seems very happy, which I hope is the case. But it's caused some problems for us. And I just want to know how she is after those.
Yeah. So the good news is she is very happy. She's very kind of easy going, kind of roll with the punches kind of girl.
Oh, great.
And and she says that she felt like she's bounced back pretty well from all of her challenges, she calls them.
She's had a few.
And so she says that, you know, although it wasn't fun at the time, that, you know, she actually feels like, you know, things have gone actually pretty well and she's bounced back. She's really looking forward to spring. And she said, are you doing some new training or resuming some training or something in the spring?
Yeah, actually, because nothing else was really working for us. I've never done positive reinforcement, but we started it last fall. And we've kind of put it on pause because we've run out of time to do it very well. But it seems like she's been enjoying that and it's been helping with. So one of the things is she's had some, because of some of the things that have happened to her, she's gotten some fear about saddling and then being in the hallway where I tack her up. And so that's been a problem because it's a pretty big barn with it's pretty busy. And when she gets scared, it's not safe. So I've been working on just different things so that she doesn't get scared and a little contact for you. So I'd like to, I haven't ridden her in, other than bareback in so long. I'd like to continue with the saddling and the riding, but it's just in progress, I guess, because we have had to put it on hold.
Yeah. Yeah. So so she says she's really looking forward to spring for, you know, to continue this training or some new training or starting up. But she says that she is willing to to try with the saddle. She just wants to, of course, do baby steps, you know, where you kind of just get the saddle out, but don't even put it on. And then you just put the saddle on and then take it right back off and then put the saddle on, but not get on her, you know, those, you know how to do that. And so it kind of, she doesn't really like being edgy, she calls it. So she's looking forward to kind of working through it. So she said she's all in. She just needs, you know, obviously needs your help and needs time. So
sure, I can do that.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to, you know, let us know how that goes.
Oh, I hope it goes well. It's been hard for us a couple times.
Yeah, she's a beauty, you know, inside and out.
No, she is. And she's, you know, I've ridden horses all my life, and I've had way more mares than geldings, and I've never had a horse quite like her. She's a just different personality, and it's been interesting. And it's, of course, every horse is different anyway, but she's so different that I've had to change how I train, which is hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she definitely responds to the softer touch, softer energy. She's very sensitive.
That's so true. She is.
Yeah, so she definitely needs the all the praise, and she gets very upset if there's any, like, even if you're yelling at someone down the stable, you know, she's like, what are you yelling at? She doesn't really like, you know, that kind of energy. So I can definitely see how you need the positive reinforcement and a lot of reassurance. She said talking to her in a nice, soft, reassuring tone is helpful.
Okay. Well, I can do that for sure. How about, what's her favorite thing to do?
Eat. I can answer that. Isn't that always the answer? I mean, it's my favorite thing to do.
You know, it's funny because she says that she likes it when you go out and just walk around with her, and she just kind of follows you around.
We did that yesterday.
She liked it.
Oh, good.
So we need her. But what I take out of that is she'd rather be a puppy dog, and you need to bring her in the house. That's what I take out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking.
That's perfect. Are you married?
I have a horse husband, but we're not married.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I'm sure he'd be thrilled with this whole idea I just came up with.
Yeah, he always points out when I bring hay and dirt into the barn. So I'm sure our horse will be totally
fine. Yeah, the horse will be good. That'd be no problem at all. Tell him I said it was okay, all right?
I will do that. Thanks, Glenn. So good. And I guess I have one more question. She came from a very different type of environment where there was no barns, no stables, not a lot of horses around. And I where she is now, I kind of compare it to New York City, like bringing the horse to the city. And she took a long time to settle in. I think she's doing better now, but... I just don't want her to be miserable there. And I don't have a pasture to take her to, but if it would make things better for her, I could probably arrange that. So that might be something I'd be curious what she thinks.
Mm. Yeah. Again, she is very sensitive. So all of that energy, is kind of like nails on a chalkboard for her, but she said she is getting more used to it. She says that you usually try to come when it's not as busy, and that's helpful. She says, you know, you do your best to kind of find the quieter time. So she said that helps, but she said, you know, it might just be better for her to get used to it because that's probably more of the usual.
Okay. All right. Well,
but she is really grateful that you try to, you know, work around it the best you can. Like I said, by going, you know, at the non-busier times of the day when you can.
Sure. Well, I go up every day. It's a self-care facility, so I don't know if it was intentional that I do it during the quieter times, but if she's enjoying that part of it, then I guess I'm doing all right.
There you go. Good job.
Sounds to me like Cinder's giving you an A plus. You've gotten a stamp of approval from your pony. That's what it sounds to me like.
Thank goodness, because sometimes you just have to wonder about yourself sometimes.
Hey, Scooter didn't give me an A plus, so I think you're winning here. I think I'd take it.
Well, you know, I can check back in with Scooter to get an update when I see you at the
Okay. All right, yeah, we'll see if he's doing any better. Thank you, Jessica, for joining us. We really do appreciate it. And Leslie, tell us, if somebody wants a reading, what do they do?
Yeah, they go to my website at ispeaktoanimals.com, and there's a place there where you can go and book your own appointment. Also, you can find me on Facebook there. You can find my podcast there. It all starts from there.
All right, great. And we have an idea for next month for the horse we can do next month, don't we, Jamie?
Oh, I don't know if I want to know. Oh, I have a question real quick before we tell you about that horse. When you're talking, Leslie, to Cinder, is like Scooter like banging on the door like, hey, or is it like a direct line? Are people trying to interrupt?
Is it a party line or a direct call?
Yeah, exactly.
Conference call?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a great question. So usually I'm pretty good about keeping everyone else out and, you know, kind of blocking the other lines, so to speak. But sometimes when it's a really big personality animal, they think, I don't care about your rule, Leslie. I have something to say. I want to say it. Now, usually it would be more related to another one of Jessica's animals and not necessarily, you know, Glenn's. But it's always possible. With Scooter, I think anything's possible. But but I think I'm pretty good about sort of ignoring them. You know, like you don't want to give them that positive, yeah, like, sure, you can talk to me anytime kind of
thing. Oh, yeah, once you do that, you're done with Scooter.
I'm really good at ignoring Glenn, so it totally makes sense. We're in this together.
And on that note.
We were thinking next week, anyway, next time you come on, maybe we'll do the new little pony that I got. So his name is Taco. We named him Taco Tuesday.
Taco,
so
Taco
try to see what's going on in that little equine brain.
Oh, fun. How old is Taco Tuesday?
Well, you know, we think he's around 8. It's a bit of a mystery, but you know what? You're going to solve it for us. There you go.
There you go. All right. I can't wait.
ispeaktoanimals.com. Thank you both. Appreciate it. I wanted to remind everybody that if you're heading out to any of these places over the next couple of months, you'll be able to find statelinetech.com there. We have Equine Affair in Ohio on April 11th through the 14th. That's one we were just talking about that Leslie and I will both be at. So if you get a chance to head out there, check out the State Line Tech booth. They have a huge one there. You'll find all kinds of good deals. The Defender Kentucky 3-day event, of course, they're set up there as well in the vendor hall. That's the old indoor arena up at the top level. They'll be there from April 25th to the 28th. They always have all kinds of good deals, and it's very busy at that one. It's a huge booth they have there. And then Equine Affair in Massachusetts, November 7th through the 10th, and that's in Massachusetts. If you can't get to any of those, then head over to statelinetech.com now for all of your tack shopping needs.
This Horse Health Report is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. I would like to welcome to the show Dr. Tina Ursini. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Did I get the pronunciation right? It's Dr. Ursini.
Yep, you nailed it.
Fantastic. Now, there's a whole lot of letters after your name, so why don't you just tell everybody what you do?
Yeah, I'm one of the sports medicine and rehab specialists here at the University of Tennessee. In my ability here and staying here, I've also gotten my PhD in therapeutic exercise, specifically looking at kind of how muscles work at different times of the stride. So definitely more work that I'm interested in, especially in neurologic horses as well, that we'll talk about going forward. But yeah, lots of alphabet soup. Most of it just means that I really like rehab and fixing horses and getting them back to work.
I love it.
And
so,
that she's smarter than both of us combined.
Yeah,
that's the other thing.
She's nice enough to not say that.
No, not true at all.
Well, that's fascinating, though. So Dealing with neurologic horses, it is definitely a problem that I have faced several times, unfortunately, in my horse career. And one of the things really rampant here that causes neurologic problems is EPM. So what are some symptoms of just a general neurologic issue that owners could look out for?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we have a few things that we look at as far as the neurologic exam and kind of assessing horses. But specific things that you can look out for at home are kind of that posture or resting position. So horses should naturally want to keep kind of all four legs underneath them at one time and a reasonably square posture, not to say that they have to be halter horse square 24/7, but they really shouldn't want to stand, you know, kind of with their legs crossed or with one leg kind of hanging out to the side. So maybe they don't have the best, you know, posture there. Also, you know, kind of how aware are they in their environment? So, you know, did they trip over a log that they've seen multiple times and know that's there? So are they not really aware of kind of how their body is in space? Think of it as hoof-eye coordination, for lack of a better kind of descriptor. Other things we look at, so ataxia, or, you know, lack of coordination. So kind of, you know, think of your drunk uncle, you know, kind of stumbling home. That's kind of how we think of ataxia. So the hind end is maybe doing its own thing, different from the front end, and nothing's really coordinated. Other things we'll see, and especially in the early phases, is just kind of muscle weakness. Specifically horses, I deal a lot with, you know, hunter jumpers and high-end horses, in that realm, that, you know, hey, he's chipping fences all of a sudden, and he really doesn't have the takeoff that he had before, you know, so maybe just some underlying muscle weakness. And then the other thing to look at is, you know, are they deviating from the normal gait pattern? So did they have a really beautiful four-beat walk gait that now wants to kind of be a two-beat lateralizing? You know, how fluid and how consistent are, you know, the walk, trot, canter gaits? And if you see any deviation there, for sure, you know, get your veterinarian out, get eyeballs on them, because the sooner that we can pick up on those things and initiate treatment, specifically for EPM, you know, everybody's really worried about it, and it could be a career ender. But if we catch it early, get it treated early, and start rehab early, you know, there's no reason that those horses can't maintain and go back to work, again, with early proper diagnosis.
It's interesting you talk about the coordination. One of the things that I look for at my place, I take a lot of horses off the track and restart them, is in my barn, my stalls have this wooden like 2x4 at the bottom. And mm-hmm. I've had horses like walk in and out of the stalls, no problem. And then there's that just trip in and out of the stalls over this 4-inch piece of wood constantly. And that's one of the things that I definitely look at, is like, why are you not picking your feet up over that? And you've been in and out of the stall 47 times. So
yeah. And that could be anything too. You know, do they have an arthritic condition that's preventing them from flexing their legs, you know, or is it a neurologic thing where they really don't know where their feet are in relation to the board? So those for sure would be something that would stimulate, you know, a more in-depth assessment. And we do a bunch of, you know, specific tests as part of the neurologic exam as well to kind of challenge those horses and get a baseline exam.
So what are some things that would contribute to a neurologic horse?
You know, we have a lot of differentials. You know, the top ones probably in the sport horse world or the athletic horse world are going to be arthritis or changes of the cervical vertebra. So in the neck, specifically at the base of the neck, you know, anytime we hear Wobbler's disease, there's kind of two main components of that. One is more of a developmental young horse problem, that they're just kind of malformed and not quite oriented appropriately. And then the other one would be what we call the older horse wobbler syndrome. So as they kind of build up arthritis and there's some bony changes, you can actually get impingement of that bone on the spinal cord itself. And then, you know, those signals from the hind end to the brain are just not getting through. So, you know, if the signals aren't getting through, then, you know, you've got neurologic disease. The other one, as you mentioned, would be EPM would be on my list. There's more and more evidence looking at EDM, or, you know, equine degenerative myelopathy. And we don't, we're still learning more and more about it. You know, seems to be in the kind of warm blood realm more than anything, some thoroughbreds as well. But, you know, for sure, we're trying to learn more about it. And to be fair, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of treatment for a lot of these things. I do think, and that's where, you know, I think rehab and therapeutic exercise is really important at trying to limit progression. And, you know, if we don't have a cure and we've got signals from the neurologic system that aren't getting through, we can train other tracts of the spinal cord to take over some of those functions. And that's the main kind of goal of rehab is, you know, I'm not changing the arthritis at the level of the neck. What we're doing is we're maintaining mobility, maintaining some muscle strength around those issues to kind of help stabilize those. And then, you know, through persistence and training, we're kind of teaching the horse, similar to a human that has to relearn to walk, you know, training other parts of the nervous system to take over those functions that aren't happening right now. So, you know, that's the fun part about rehab is, you know, the sky's your limit as far as what you can do.
Yeah, it sounds like, and it has to be very specific for whatever presentation the horse is giving you. Do you feel like chiropractic is somewhere to start? Or are you anti-chiropractic?
I'm not anti-chiro in any way, shape, or form. I do think it's indicated in certain situations. For sure, you know, those older horses with arthritis could really benefit from chiropractic, you know, kind of throughout their entire spine. I reach a little bit more, you know, I see a lot of the EPM horses get more of a soft tissue kind of body sore component from moving funny. I think those horses respond a little bit better to acupuncture than chiropractic. Okay. I'll be the first to say I'm not certified in either one of those. I kind of just script and prescribe them out as I kind of see and leave it up to that practitioner to kind of do what they feel is more relevant for that horse that day. But the ones that just seem more kind of muscle sore, soft tissue pain, I think acupuncture I reach for. The ones that are, you know, stiff, chronic, arthritic horses, for sure, you know, we'll do some chiropractics on them.
One of the things that was prescribed to me with one of my horses was the stability pads.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use those ever?
Yeah, we use those here in the hospital occasionally. Really all what you're looking for there is just changing the input that horse is getting from the ground. So those squishy pads, you know, and there's progressions of firmness. So obviously the firmer ones are a little bit easier to stand on versus the squishy ones. They kind of got to fight and challenge. So, you know, equate it to you exercising on a balance ball type of thing. Mm-hmm. So the biggest, you know, advantage that those have, again, is changing the input that your horse receives from the ground. Now, you could do that in other ways too to challenge that horse as, you know, hey, this is a horse that pretty much always works in the arena and yeah, he gets turned out sometimes, but hey, let's walk across the gravel driveway. Let's take him down the concrete aisle. Let's, you know, go in the water or the gravel, or, you know, if he isn't a horse that goes in pasture or rides in pasture, go ride him, exercise him out in the grass. And all of those are going to change the input that horse receives, you know, from the ground through his frogs, through his feet, and into his neurologic system and sensory system. So, you know, yeah, you can go out and buy a bunch of fancy stuff, but there's a lot that people can do, you know, just having stuff around. You know, proprioception training is so awareness of where they are in space. Your barn sounds perfect for that. Some horses get proprioception training every day, but just ground poles and, you know, mixing up the distance between them. So horses really have to think about, you know, it's not just a stride. And once you get in them, it's just fluid. But, you know, changing, oh, this is a short distance, this one's a longer distance to make him reach, and actually challenge that horse to know where his feet are in space in relation to the ground and the ground poles.
That's awesome. Those are great exercises to think about. Well, this is fantastic. I mean, I could talk to you. Like, I might just call you later because like we could talk for hours. But where can people go to learn more about you? I know you wrote an article for thehorse.com. Where can people go to contact you or learn more about what you do?
Yeah. So anybody that's kind of local to the East Coast, we get horses, you know, all across the East Coast, from, you know, Northeast Florida, Georgia, Illinois. So anybody, we do have a clinical rotation here, and a hospital here is a rehab center. So if anybody has a horse at home that, hey, I want you to put my horse in neurologic boot camp, for sure, you can send them on to us. Welcome to reach out to me via email, which, I think you guys have, but you can post kind of with the podcast and, you know, get a little bit more information on that type of stuff and just contact me with videos and pictures. That's easy enough. But yeah, the horse article was a great start. And then, you know, the hardest part about these neurologic horses is it really is, you know, custom made programs, because every horse is way different in their, you know, some have more weakness, some have, you know, they're pretty strong, but they have proprioceptive deficits, so they don't really know where they are in space. And so their programs are vastly different, even though they might both have EPM. So, you know, really getting a foundation of, you know, where your horse is starting with, and then, you know, kind of a tailored program going forward.
And I just wanted to clarify, you're in Knoxville, Tennessee, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Knoxville, okay. Tennessee. Yep. Here at the UTCBM here. So the Equine Performance and Rehab Center is our main center. And there is a website as well.
And I'll put a link to that and also to the horse article that you did called Improving Neurologic Function in Horses. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. It was great. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
I'm here with the mad scientist who developed Daily Dose Equine Horse Feeds, Janet Geyer. And I wanted to have a quick chat with you because Daily Dose Equine Horse Feed are non-GMO whole food nutrition based. And a lot of people go, oh, that comes from a small dedicated feed mill. I won't be able to get that when I travel. They're wrong, aren't they?
They are. You can get it through Chewy anywhere in the United States. Or if you live locally in Maryland and Northern Virginia, you can get it delivered.
There you go. Chewy.com. It will deliver it anywhere you want. You can also schedule delivery in advance so you can have it delivered every X number of days. And you can go in there to your account and change it every time you move horse show venues. So check it out today. DailyDoseEquine.com online or Chewy.com.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
It just keeps happening. I mean, the weird things keep happening. And this week, we're going to go in and out of the country, Glenn, but we're going to also start and finish in Ohio. So you're welcome.
Yay.
No Florida today. Okay. Well, I would like to thank these people for submitting the weird news. If you are looking through the news wherever you get it and you're like, that is so weird, email it to me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com, with weird news in the subject line. Just like Ina, Claire, Laureen, Alicia, Scott, Julie, Katie, Nicole, and Rosemary all did this week. Thank you guys very much for participating. Sorry if I missed anybody. It's been a heck of a morning. All right. So we're going to start in Cleveland. I lived in Cleveland for about a year and a half. I can't imagine this happening. But on I-90, just before East 55th exit, there were some people driving down the road and they're like, and they're going they were going west, but there's a bunch of horses going east on the freeway, which is a problem.
Especially if there's nobody with them.
Loose on the freeway in Cleveland. Now you would think, how did they get there? Where did they come from in Cleveland? Not carriage horses. No, nothing. And you know what? Typically, people would get in pretty big trouble for letting their horses run around in Cleveland, unless they're the police horses that escaped from the local stables of the policemen. No, it's never good. Never good. But you know what? Oddly enough, there's really zero post information about it. It just says horses were corralled and they're safely back in the stables. But like last week we had one where like horses got loose on the freeway and there was a whole lot more written about it. But it's like the police were like, we got them. Go away. No press, no cameras. I just thought it was funny that even things can go wrong with the police officers, and didn't seem like they got in trouble. I wonder if somebody did. They're like,
I'm sure somebody did. The groom, the poor groom.
The poor guy. Oh, this poor Irish woman. Her name is Camilla Grabska. She's in Ireland. And she was in a car accident in 2017, and it left her with, quote, debilitating pain. She has been repeatedly bedridden. She had constant pain in her back, neck, and thoracic spine, was unable to lift groceries, do chores, or play with her children after this terrible rear-end crash that she was in. She had to quit her job, Glenn. She had to go on disability, and she was asking her insurance, like her insurance claim was more than $800,000. She was suing for past and future lost wages. This poor woman, how did this happen? Oh, I feel so bad for her. Unfortunately, Glenn, unfortunately for her, the case was just dismissed. Why? Why was the case dismissed?
Why dismissed? Was the case dismissed?
You ask. It's because she was caught. She was in over Christmas. This is so Ireland. She was in a Christmas tree throwing contest where she won. She won a Christmas tree throwing contest.
Well, and her pain, that must have been something.
Oh, poor thing. She said this is what the judge said. It is a very large natural Christmas tree, and it is being thrown by her in a very agile movement. I'm afraid I cannot but conclude the claims were entirely exaggerated, and on that basis, case dismissed. However, she did deny the accusations that she faked her injuries. She said, it was just my intention to lead a normal life. And it hurt. Throwing that Christmas tree hurt so bad. But I suffered through. She's not going to get any money.
No, let's hope not. And by the way, why don't we have Christmas tree throwing contests in the United States? Why are we missing out on that one? That seems like something Irish. You could do in a drunken fit.
And they're way tougher. They actually claim that she looks really happy in the photo. But she says, I was really suffering and experiencing a lot of pain in that picture.
Well, and was that your best Irish accent?
I forgot she was Irish. Okay. Yeah. I can't do Irish at all. So that was it. Oh, bless his heart. Now, this one rings close to home because it's about an airline pilot. Captain. His name is a captain for Vietjet, and he was flying a flight from Taipei, Taiwan to Bangkok, Thailand. His name, are you ready? Mm-hmm. Jakaran Sararnrakskul.
I'm sure that was it.
I mean, it sounded like I'm from there. Okay. Well, the cabin crew informed Sararnrakskul that a passenger was in the airplane's restroom causing a bit of a ruckus. So he left his co-pilot in charge of the aircraft and he hurried to the restroom. And upon reaching the restroom, he found this woman in active labor.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. She went to the bathroom on an airplane to have a baby.
On the floor of an airplane or anywhere in the bathroom?
Anywhere in the airplane yeah. would be disgusting. But I mean, bathroom? You know, when the baby wants to go, you know, I flew. The last time I flew was 5 months. I was 5 months pregnant and I flew and I was like, oh, my God, this is terrible. Like, it is seriously uncomfortable. And the babies get very angry when you're changing. So I don't know how far along this woman was, but I told Chad after 5 months, I was like, I'm not doing it again. I'm not going anywhere because it was just really, really uncomfortable. So unfortunately, the baby was coming. And I guess maybe they said, is there a doctor on board? And nobody volunteered. So this airline captain delivered a baby in the restroom of his full plane while the co-pilot was flying. He says, despite his extensive career in aviation, this was the first baby he'd ever delivered. Mother and baby are in good health. And he was expressing his pride and joy at being able to assist in bringing a new life into the world, and about the unique birth story this baby boy is going to have to share for the rest of his life.
Okay. Would Chad be able to do it?
I went to him, okay, and I was like, what would you do? And he's like, I would see if there was a doctor on board.
And so, then I was like, so stereotypical. Is there a doctor on the plane?
And I'm like, you're just going to see another lady's vagina like that? Like, that's not okay. I didn't say that. But he saw one delivered. So
I guess he would have to if there was no doctor or nurse. I mean, he's in charge of the plane.
What would you do? I mean, you got to do it. Yeah, you're in charge of the plane. You have to bring all those souls on board that got there. You have to bring them all home, even if there's an additional one that appears.
Do they charge them for that one? By the, you know, when they get back,
do you get a bonus for baby delivery? Yeah. It's not like a thing. They said he didn't have any medical training, but quick thinking and calm demeanor in a crisis situation played a crucial role. And that is what they are trained to do, to quick think in crisis situations. That is all they train for. So, I mean, this probably was the easiest thing he'd done on the whole plane.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. And, you know, Chad was a fighter pilot. He knows how to think quick. That's not a problem.
Yeah, he's good at that stuff.
Me, on the other hand, I'm out. Somebody else can do it.
Passed out. They'd be like, somebody move this body.
Yeah.
You got to get room for the baby.
I'm not helping with this. You know, having the baby horses was bad enough. That was bad enough for me.
That was enough for you. Okay, so we're going to go back to Ohio. You know it's a good day when we're starting and finishing in Ohio. And we're going to finish in Ohio at a Walmart. Of course we are. So this is about 36 miles from Dayton in Sydney, Ohio. There were some employees, I guess they were going out in the parking lot to get the carts, and they're getting everything together, and they're like kind of cleaning up the parking lot a little bit, and they're walking around. And they're like, huh, what is that on the ground in the parking lot of the Walmart? That's a finger. That's a finger. Ooh. Laying in the pavement, on the pavement, in the Walmart parking lot in Sydney, Ohio. There you go. So, yeah, the employees were walking around, and they looked down, and there is a finger. So they called the police, who then called the coroner's office, who then confirmed that the digit belongs to an adult woman. They are attempting to do DNA matches to figure out who owns the finger. They have yet to find a match. Police are saying that they don't think the finger's amputation was caused by criminal activity. What? Did somebody just
how would you know?
just popped off.
This person's going to know their finger's missing. It's not like it's a mystery to this person.
I mean, let's hope this woman somewhere who's missing a finger is okay. But like, I don't know. Do you call the hospitals and be like, did anybody come reporting that they need their finger hole stitched up? Like, what?
Well, let's hope that this person is still alive to know their finger's missing.
I know. So here's the thing. My favorite part of this was the Walmart shoppers who were interviewed. afterward, because it says while finding amputated body parts is not an everyday occurrence at Walmart, other mishaps are. And then they list all these other mishaps, which we don't even have time to get into right now because Walmart is a crazy place. But people said, shopper Nate Robinson said to the local reporters, is my first reaction is, how do you leave without your finger? How'd they know? How do you not know your finger's missing? There should be a body connected to that, right? Somebody else said, that's the strangest thing I've ever heard. And then some shoppers were trying to imagine what it was like to find the finger. I'd freak out and probably turn around and go home, and I'd never come to this Walmart again.
I think they would, actually.
Oh, yeah, you would. You would. You just avoid the place from the finger. Yeah. It's fine. Or are you going to watch where you step from now on? One comment under the article was, attention Walmart shoppers. Attention Walmart shoppers, please check your hands. If you're missing something, please report to the lost and found at the customer service desk. Show us your hands and we'll give you something you need. It's on ice.
It's on ice.
That's it. I'm done. It's gross.
That is gross. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Mary and Jennifer, Mary Kitzmiller and Jennifer will be here tomorrow on the show. And then Jamie and I will be back with really bad ads. Send your ads in to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com on Friday. We'll do some really bad ads, even though I'm coming to you from Aiken Saddlery. So we never miss really bad ads. We have prizes this month, of course. So you want to get your ads in today. jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Go out and collect your new horses in for training.
God, I thought you were saying to say go out and collect a finger. I was like, whoa.
Well, let's hope that's not the case. Or things went really bad delivering the horses.
I know, right? All right. Everybody spay, neuter, geld.